Let's have other answers. Why is prayer important? Yes, Sammy?
Communication with God.
Communication with God. Yes, it's a good answer. Thank you. Yes.
It empowers and enlightens the spirit.
It empowers us in our spirit. Yes, that's a good answer. Yes, let's have more answers. Why is prayer important? Yes.
So that we don't fall into temptation.
So that what? We don't fall into temptation. You know, you've read it many times, the Lord's Prayer. It said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How does he do it? Through prayer. Yes. Why is prayer important? Yes.
So, God will forgive us our sin and ask to forgive others.
Yes. So, prayer is important because through prayer, we can confess our sins to God and receive forgiveness. In fact, as we are giving this answer, you can see already that the Lord's Prayer is not a recitation. It's a model. It's something that helps you to understand how to pray. It's not the prayer in itself. It's the model that gives the insight into the important elements of prayer. Yes, let's take two more answers. Grandma, why is prayer important?
People say, sign of a deliverance.
Yes, so through prayer, we can find deliverance. Is anybody in this church who doesn't need deliverance from anything? You are perfectly okay, and the world is so good. Yeah? Your world is continuously paradise. You need no deliverance. Anybody? No. In this world, Jesus said, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. The world is broken. You have to settle it once and for all that the world is broken. And another thing you need to understand is that God is not to blame. When God made the world, he handed it over to Adam. Genesis 1:26, and said, have dominion. Man, your great, 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 greatest, greatest, greatest grandfather, Adam, was put in charge of a perfect world. Yeah? But he lost that control. When Satan came to tempt him, he lost control. And Satan grabbed it. Now understand this. Satan does not have the moral right to reign in the world because it was not created for him. It was created for man. Yeah? But he has the legal right because Adam lost control. And that explains why the world is broken. God is not a lawless God. Yeah? When God set his laws, he keeps them. And so when God made man, he said, look, have dominion. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. But there are two trees in the garden and you must not touch the tree. The day you touch this tree of knowledge of good and evil, that day, you will surely die. We were revising this last week. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a tree that is a tree of death because it's a tree of I'm going my own way. I'm having it my own way. It's a tree of I'm not depending on God. I'm having it my own way. And so that was really the choice that God was presenting to man. You have the blessing, but to keep the blessing, you need to depend and remain connected to me because I am the source of the blessing. Now, the moment Adam and Eve walked away from that and wanted to know it for themselves, they wanted to what? To know it for themselves so that they can do it by themselves. They lost the blessing. Do you understand? So the Satan is there and he's still operating. His time will be up soon when Jesus returns. But up to that time, Satan has the legal right to operate. But only on the lives of those who allow him. Are you with me? Through prayer, we side with God. Hallelujah. And we restrain the power of evil from our lives, from our homes, from our community, from our nation. And from our world. Hallelujah. So the next time something happens, like a natural disaster, or you know, something, whatever disaster happens. Before you open your mind and say, why God? You have to first of all ask yourself, have I prayed? When last did you pray for the world, Sister Pamela?
This morning.
Okay. Hallelujah. Actually, it was a question that didn't need an answer. Hallelujah. You see, when we walk away and do our own things, we don't care. You don't pray for the world. You don't pray for the prime minister. You don't even pray for, you know, your family members. You know, you just wake up, have your shower, comb your hair, and then you jump into the metro. And everything is okay until the day the train has, you know, and I say, ah, God, where are you? God says, I've never left my throne. Hallelujah. Through prayer, we side with God to restrain the power of evil which it exists in our world. Are you understanding? That's prayer. Do we have any more answers why prayer is important? Yes.
So my answer will be for the perfect will of God can be done in our life.
Hallelujah. You know what? To me, all the other answers are good. But that is my perfect answer. Open your Bible to Matthew 6. Let's read verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10 tells us why prayer is important. Of course, every part of what you read tells us, but verse 9 and 10 tells us. Can we read together? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Let me open my Bible and then we'll read together as a church. It's good to read together. It's good to read the Bible. Hallelujah. The word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of spirit and soul, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Are we ready, church? Okay, let's read. Let's go. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we pray. Let me give an example. In heaven, there is no sickness. Hello? No, sorry. I wanted to push it further. Let me just push it further. You know. Don't be offended. I feel the Holy Spirit make me say this. In heaven, there's no sickness, there is no abortion, and there's no miscarriage. Do you agree? In heaven. Hello, are you with me? So, when we pray, we can get that also to happen in our lives. And if we pray more, we can get it to happen in our community. If we pray more, we can even get it to happen in our nation. Are you with me? Because your will be done where? So that already tells you that God's will is being done in heaven. Hello? God's will is always being done in heaven. Hallelujah. But when we pray, we make it possible for the will of God to be done on earth. Now, in case you were doubting, I know this happens because I have been there. I want you to understand, if there's anybody who is always, you know, wanting your best good, Sister Crystal, anybody always permanently wanting your best good, yeah? I have news for you. It's not Fernando. You know why? Because you're just a human being. Yeah? Subject to the same imperfections like we are. But there is somebody who is permanently wanting your best good. And that is God. God, like one of my friends would say, is totally good. God does not think an evil thought towards you. Not one. Not one evil thought does God think towards you. Even when you are in a mistake or in error, God is looking for a way to restore you back. Hallelujah. That's why I say, the Lord is what? My shepherd. Sit to yourself, say, the Lord. You don't know what I'm telling you. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack no good thing. Now, there are some things that appear good to you, but they are not really good. The reason why they appear good to you is because you are short-sighted. Not physically, but spiritually. You can't see. How many times have you thought about it that, you know, you something happened and then, you know, 2 months later or 3 months later, you say, oh, if I had known, you know, that, you know, it would turn out like this, I would do it differently. Hello? Anybody like that? Yeah? It's because you don't know everything. But you know what? I have good news for you. God knows everything. Hallelujah. He declares end from where? The beginning. Let me show you something. Do you know the end of the world is already written down? We have the script. We know exactly how this world will end. If you don't know it, read the book of Revelation. The book of Genesis tells you exactly how the world started. Yeah? The book of Revelation tells you exactly how the world will end. We know the end of the story. Hallelujah. God declares the end from the beginning. That's why he said, I am Alpha and what? Omega. The beginning. You know one of the names of Jesus is the beginning. And another name of Jesus is the end. Hallelujah. So when you walk with the one who knows the beginning, you know, there's somebody who knew you when you were just a tiny little, tiny microscopic something. In the womb. You know what I mean? Tiny little microscopic. In the womb. He knew you. Hallelujah. Even your parents did not know you then. They just know. They don't even know they were pregnant. But he knew. Hallelujah. He permitted you to be. If God did not permit you to be, you will not be. It doesn't matter whether your parents get together a million times. If God did not permit you to be, you will not what? Be. For you to be a living being, God permitted it. Hallelujah. He's known you from the beginning. And he knows your potential. He knows your gifts. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your challenges and your difficulties. This person who we call God is the only person who is totally committed to you. Hallelujah. We may say married couples are committed, but we live in a country where there's a lot of divorce, isn't it? So, a human being is limited. I do not wish you divorce. You will not experience divorce. And if you have experienced it, you will not experience it again. In Jesus' name. Anyway. Are you with me? But God is committed to you. Say to yourself, say, God committed to me. Therefore, I can trust him. You know, one of the things we read in the Bible is that there's no partiality with God. The fact that God is committed to you, Samuel, does not stop God from being committed to you, Isaiah, does not stop God from being committed to you, Abby. God has enough room to be committed to all his children. Hallelujah. God cannot be confused by mathematics. Yeah? The data cannot confuse God. Hallelujah. He is beyond data. Hallelujah. He is what? Beyond data. God does not need a data processor. He himself is the data processor. Hallelujah. God is committed. I just felt I should emphasize that. So, prayer helps us to side with God. Hallelujah. Prayer does what? Can we say that together? Say, prayer helps me to take side with God. And I'm convinced that if I'm on God's side and I'm in God's side, I'm telling you, I'm convinced that every good and perfect gift is mine. If it's not mine, then it's not good and perfect. It may be good, but not perfect. And I actually, you know, I pray to God. I say, God, I don't want a good gift that is not perfect. I don't want a good gift that will destroy me later. I don't want anybody to come into my life that will cause me maximum confusion later. It doesn't matter how much they are celebrated now. Yeah? I want good and perfect gifts. The ones that will last. That people will celebrate me yesterday. They'll come back, they'll celebrate me today. They'll come back, they'll celebrate me today. I say, this gift that God gave you, you are still enjoying it? You say, yes. Hallelujah. It's from the Lord. It's good and it's perfect. How do you do that? It's through prayer. So I explain prayer to you. Why prayer is important. He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. That's what prayer does. In prayer, we call out to God and say, Father God, as your will is being done in heaven, let it be done in my life. As your will is being done in heaven, let it be done in my home. Hallelujah. There are some problems you are facing in your home. It applies to all of us. Whether the home you came from or the home you are raising or anywhere in between. There are some problems you are facing in your home that to restrain that power. Sometimes we blame everything on human beings. I say, if not because of Sister Claudia, you know, that showed up, you know, late, you know, I will have had breakfast. You find a reason to blame somebody for anything not working in your life. What you don't realize is that they are also blaming you. Yeah. Have you ever found out when two people that are close are arguing? If you are a counselor, yeah, let's assume you're a married counselor and you have two people, whether they are in dating or they are married, and they have a disagreement, and you sit them down. Each side will have something to say. And what they will say will sound good to them. Yeah? And it is. If you hear only one side, you will believe them. Are you with me? Yeah? You will believe them. The reason why things go wrong in life is not just because of human beings alone. Human beings have their faults. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. Let's go there because it's good for you. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Yes, I will have. Mira, are you still up to it? Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verse. What am I looking for? Verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We're going to take it from three versions, starting with Mira, and then I will move to two other people. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12. You know what? Don't read from verse 12 because just to make the story complete, yeah? Read verse 10 to 12. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 12. Please read.
A final word. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil.
For why? It tells you what you should do, but then it tells you why. Why? Verse 12.
For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places.
Amen. You know, the Bible calls this world a dark world. Imagine. The Bible calls this world what? This world is not heaven. That's why you should not be planning to live permanently in this world. You should live like somebody who is planning for a better world. Hallelujah. You should invest your resources, your talents, your time and money into the kingdom. Because this world is not perfect, neither will it last forever. Hallelujah. And that's why, you see, we read earlier, we're going back to it. He said, don't lay your treasure on the earth. Because it can be corrupted. You can even lose it in one day. But he said, lay your treasure in heaven, in the kingdom. But how do you lay your treasure in heaven? You're on the earth. It simply means that the things of value to you. What's your treasure? Yes, anybody have? I've taught you many times. Where's my mic? Coming back to you. What's your treasure? Let's try Christo. Christo, what's your treasure? Anything treasurable to you?
My family.
Your family, yes.
My parents.
Your parents, okay. Yes. Any other person? What's your treasure, Sister Agnes? What do you treasure? What do you treasure very well?
My girl. My daughter.
Your daughter, yes. God bless her. God bless her wherever she is right now. Amen. Yes, what do you treasure? Anybody? What do you treasure? Your family, yes.
Your home.
Your home, yes. You've not hit the nail on the head. What are your real treasures in this world? things that can, you know, you can convert from what you want to what you need. Money. Hello? What? Money. Yeah, money. You know, I put it to you. There is no day, no matter how spiritual you are, there is no day of your life that goes by without you thinking about money at least 7 times. Hello? There was a story of a man of God chatting with his friend, and they were talking about money and about giving. The man of God talks about giving to God, and they find, like, you know, all this preaching about giving and money. You don't really have to talk about money, you know, if you are serving God. Just concentrate on God. Yeah? Money is not important. So as they were chatting along, you know, they hit a curb, and there was a 50-cent coin on the curb. Before the man of God could look left, the man had dived, you know, to pick up the sign. He doesn't think about money, yeah? Are you with me? Money is a treasure. It is. You'll be deceiving yourself if you don't admit it. Hallelujah. Money is very important in our own. In fact, I could say you, apart from anything spiritual, the singular most important physical thing in the world today is what? Money. That's why you see that if you listen to music, worldly music, I have studied it. Worldly music is only about 3 things. All worldly music is just what about what? 3 things. They will talk about money. They are not talking about money. They will talk about sex or romance. And if they are not talking about, they talk about power. Or the drive or the jive. What do you call it? The status, the, you know, the, I'm looking for the, you know, the rappers. They got the what? What did they got? The power. What? The swagger. Now you're talking. Now you're what? You're talking. Bible already says, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. I've been studying it for a long time. I just wondered that. Because now I don't listen to it. There was a time I used to, but I don't listen to worldly music. Because after a while, God just opened my eyes, I studied it. I said, look, just give anybody who doesn't know God the mic. Let them sing. What are they going to sing about? They're going to sing about money or sex or romance or swagger, efficiency, power. That's all. That's all. If you disagree with me, see me after service. Are you with me? But the Bible says that we are not wrestling flesh and blood. You see, when I was a younger Christian and I read this place, I understood it, but I didn't understand it deeper. Let me explain what the Bible is saying there. You see, any time these powers of darkness want to get you, they will come through human beings. That's the part you will not quickly get if you don't meditate on that scripture. They don't come directly most of the time. Hello? Anybody ever seen the devil? You seen the devil? Yeah. Yes, I know you've seen the devil. Yeah? That person that was very, very mean and wicked. Yeah? It's like what? His father, the devil. Are you with me? The devil never comes directly. He comes through people. Hallelujah. And who are the people that devil uses? Anybody. Don't misunderstand it. The devil will use what? Anybody that allows him. You know why? Because devil does not have constitution. Okay, we can't use this. You know, we use this. Anybody that allows, the devil will use. You know the serpent in Genesis? It was a good creation of God. In fact, Bible says it was the smartest of them all. I know we will never understand that now because from the other side. Yeah? The serpent was the smartest of all the animals that God made. But we will not understand it because you are looking post-fall. You would imagine that a very smart creature, the smartest of them all, will not allow the devil to use it. But he used it. Any creature that allows the devil, he will use. So when the devil wants to try to cause confusion or mess up something in your life, Yeah? He will use people. But what Ephesians is telling us is that despite the fact that the devil is using people, you don't overcome the devil by fighting and killing people. You understand? Because there is a power behind it. So next time you find yourself in a quarrel with your best friend, you know, don't just see it like they got it wrong only. You don't know the powers, the thoughts, the thought processes, the mindset influencing them. Yeah? That's where prayer will come in. Hallelujah? That's where prayer will come in. If you are in a workplace and there's somebody who is permanently against you, permanently. It's not like maybe you did something to annoy them. But they are just permanently always. If you say the answer is A, they will say no, it's B. If you change your mind and say the answer is B, they will say no, you missed it, it's A. You may think, oh, you know, it's just that woman that doesn't like me. Maybe. It's possible. Human beings have free will. But remember that even our free will is being influenced by our spiritual atmosphere. You know, somebody who has been very frustrated at home in the morning before he goes to work. If he goes to work and he's irritable, it's not just their free will. They're coming from a frustrated home. You see, that we influence them. That's where prayer comes in. That's why he says, watch and pray. Why? So that you will not enter into what? Temptation. Yeah? How many people have the swagger and they fall like a pack of cards overnight? And you know, the world is so unforgiving. The world is unforgiving. You know? It's all part of this. You know, in the Christianity, we love people. We love them not just because of what they do. We love them because of the love of God in us. The only reason why you should love someone first and foremost is because of the love of God. Because they will offend you. But the love of God says when they offend you, you will forgive them. Love, the type of God's love, is a love that is always acting to save. Always trying, you know, to solve the problem. Not run away from it. There are some problems you may need to run away from. You understand me? Yeah? But the love of God is a love that does not give up. Hallelujah. I don't know why I said that. That's for somebody. You understand? But the word is not for unforgiving. They will lift them up, make noise about them, celebrate all their swagger and all their money and all their fame. Then the day they miss it, so fast, they will bring them, in fact, they will bring money from their downfall. That's the world. Hallelujah. That's the world. But you know, we live in this world. But we are not of this world. And if we are going to bring heaven down to earth, we cannot do it without prayer. I'll show you some few things and we'll begin to round up gradually. I had many questions, but I think I just let myself flow as the Holy Spirit sing. I sang that song. He said, Jesus started with prayer. Can anybody tell me when Jesus started with prayer? We said prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. When did Jesus start with prayer? It's in the Bible. When?
When John the Baptist baptized him and prayed for him.
Yes, you are close. Continue the story. Then what happened after? See if you can continue that story. What happened after the baptism? Pass it to someone beside to help you. What happened after the baptism of John to Jesus? What happened to Jesus after? Just guess, you know. Don't worry about being perfect. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
The Holy Spirit came.
Yes, 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 that's right. Then what happened after?
40 days fast.
Yes. Okay. Then the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist, baptized Jesus. Yeah, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And there he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So let me ask you one question. Why did Jesus fast at the beginning of his ministry? Let's go to Matthew 4. Look at it. Matthew 4, verse 1 to 2. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And let's just read exactly what our brother and sister has quoted. So let's read from Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. Matthew 3, 16 to Matthew 4, 2. Mira, you see there? Matthew 3, 16 to Matthew 4, 2. There you go. Matthew 3, 16 to Matthew 4, 2.
After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." The temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During the time the devil came and said, okay.
Alright, thank you very much. God bless you. I know you've read that story many times. I just want to show you something there. Listen. Whether Jesus fasted or not, the devil was coming. Yeah? It was already part of the destiny. I told you, like Adam. Did he ever hear Adam fasting? Well, did the devil not come? Okay. And he lost the Garden of Eden. Are you with me? And that Bible called Jesus Christ the second man, the last Adam. So you have to go through exactly what the first Adam went through. The difference is that where the first Adam failed, the last Adam overcame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ow! He fasted and prayed. Then later, in Matthew 26, verse 41, he now tells us, he said, "Watch and pray." That what? That you enter not into temptation. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what I'm saying is that your good intention is not enough to help you in the day of temptation. You need spiritual power. See, Jesus said, "I need spiritual power." Hallelujah. I'm talking about voodoo or juju. Sister Amanda, am I speaking? She used those terms in own fellowship. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you the difference between the power of God and the power of the devil. If you go to the devil, say, normally I told you the devil will not show up as the devil. But let's assume you go to a witch doctor. Okay, I know you don't use witch doctor in England. So let's assume you go to a medium. A sorcerer, a witch doctor. And sister, no, I don't want to use names. So let's assume that this sister, is angry with. So the left, this is the right versus the left versus the right. It's not mirror, okay? And he's angry. And then you go to a witch doctor, a voodoo man, or a juju man, and say, "Oh, that sister offended me, she did this, she did that, she did that." Then they say, "What do you want?" They say, "Well, just shut her mouth up." And they will ask you, "You shut her mouth up. You mean like, you know, I should make her completely, you know, dumb?" Yeah, you say, "Okay, maybe for 1 week." They will do it. In your name. Yeah? By the way, when they do it in your name, you will still face the consequences because they will never do it in their name. You understand? Their own judgment is there, but they will have to do it in your name. So they may say, "Okay, bring your hand, let's cut blood." You know why they will need your blood? So that you've signed up to it. You know you can sign. You don't need to just sign with your pen. You can sign with your blood. It's a bigger signature. Then, in your name, in the power of your name and the power of your signature, your blood, they will destroy another life. But let me tell you the difference. If you have the same problem and you go to God, He's not going to destroy the person. If you like, fast from now till the millennium, God will not destroy a life because of you. The best that God will do to you after a while, He will give you wisdom and understanding. He will show you what you didn't know. If you persist, He will give you vision and dream. Hallelujah. If you persist, He will give you something that will make you uncomfortable until you realize that you are not called to destroy lives. You are called to deliver, to heal, to restore, to make whole. He said it's the thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come so that you can have life and have it abundantly. Hallelujah. But you see, if you want to experience the abundant life of God, you have got to spend time with God. Let me see, pick up some points that I don't need to miss, and then we finish. Let me see if... yes, okay, two more points. Okay. What is the importance of fasting? Hello? Now, I know, like, in today's world, in the West, Western, in like Europe, America, most Christians, they still manage to pray. You know, the Christians we have today, they are bread and butter Christians. You know what I mean, bread and butter? Anybody explain to me the meaning of bread and butter Christians? You say somebody is a bread and butter Christian. What does that mean? Sister Twin. Who is a bread and butter Christian?
Say a Christian that wouldn't want to go through any hardship. They just want to pray, and I mean they wish or hope that their prayers are answered in a jiffy, like microwave Christian. Fast. They don't want to, you know, from the scratch. You know, I mean, just
Amen.
Fast. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I love the words you've chosen. Microwave. Open your Bible to Matthew 6:11. I want to explain to you who a bread and butter Christian is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Matthew 6:11. Someone read for me. Not me right this time. Anyone can read. Sister Pamela, Sister Abby, I'll come to you later. Matthew 6:11.
It says, "Give us today our daily bread."
Good. Hallelujah. It's a valid prayer. Are you with me? It's what?
A valid prayer.
But, you see, according to the model, you skip the first line, "Our Father in heaven." You skip the second, "Hallowed be your name." You know what "Hallowed be your name" means? It means that, "May my life honor you. Every breath that I take, every moment, everything I say or do, may it hallow your name. May I never put your name in disgrace." That's the meaning of that prayer. You skip that. You skip "your kingdom come." You skip "your will be done on earth." And all you're praying from morning to night, every day of your life, you know, in a microwave fashion, is "give me today my daily bread." What does that make you? Bread and butter Christian. Hallelujah. A bread and butter Christian, he cannot move many mountains. The only mountain they will move is the mountain of food. Now, when I say food, I don't just mean the one you eat. It's a mountain of what you want, what you want, what you want, what you want, and what you want. You see? But you never do anything good for the kingdom because it's all about you. Do you understand? But that is not the type of Christian that God is raising you up to be. He wants you to be somebody. You know, there's a place in the Bible where he said, "You are the light of the world." You know, Jesus first said, "He said, I am the light of the world." But after he has trained his disciples, and he was about going, he said, "You are the light of the world." Why did he hand over? Because he is going. He is the head. We are the body. Anything that Jesus is going to do in this world today, he's going to do it through you. Or me. And anytime we're not cooperating with what God wants to do, the work of God does not move forward. And you know the implication? Evil will prevail. So if we do not want evil to prevail in our lives, We don't want evil to prevail in our homes. We don't want evil to prevail in our community. We have got to pray. It's not an option. It's survival. The devil has no respect. He didn't even respect Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We have got to pray. It's survival. It's like just the same way you eat your daily bread. You have got to keep praying, your kingdom come. Now, I'm not saying those words. When you pray, you align yourself with God's will. You resist the power of evil. Amen? And you submit yourself to the will of God. If I can just be confident that God's will for me is the best place I can be. Just imagine God tells me tomorrow and say, fly, pack your bag, and go to Somalia. You call a conference call with God, isn't it? You explain to him how much you've suffered. Hallelujah. Sister Agnes, you explain to him how the journeys you've taken in your whole life. So now at this point in my life, you are sending me to Somalia. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. If it ever occurs to God to tell you to do something, he has seen a future that you've never seen. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, so we are rounding up to two questions. What is the importance of fasting? Why is fasting? No, apart from prayer. So I talk prayer, but I say a lot of Christians today, they can pray. I'm not saying they are praying for extended periods, but they can pray. And I call them bread and butter Christians. So but why is praying alone not enough? Why do you need to fast at any time in your life? Why not just pray? Yes, I mean.
I think it shows that you're willing to sacrifice something for God.
Sacrifice. That's a good answer. Sacrifice. Fasting is about sacrificing. And actually, in this case, you are sacrificing something legitimate, like your food or any other legitimate comfort or pleasure. You have a right to it, but you give it up for the sake of, focusing on God. Yes? Why is fasting important? I'm looking for like two more answers.
When you fast, it's more difficult to fall into temptation when you're fasting. You're focusing on God more.
Good. Now, I was going to ask you, why is it more difficult? Because you are focusing on God more. You see what I mean? When you fast, you are focusing on God more, so it becomes more difficult. You will have received the strength you needed. You understand? You see, I noticed something in my life. Anytime my prayer life is good, it's very easy to ignore irritation. When people irritate me, I don't even feel it. But anytime my prayer life is down, the mildest irritation will get my attention. You understand? It's the strength you get, from the presence of God. Okay, let's. Is there any more answer? Let's just take one more answer. Why is fasting important? Yes, why is fasting important? Yes, let's take one more. As I begin to...
Because you forgo your food and drink on the day that you are fasting, it renews your dedication and commitment to God.
Yes. So it's again connected to sacrifice. Because anytime you sacrifice, for something spiritual, you deepen in your consecration and dedication to God. Okay, let me just summarize. Why is fasting important? Let me just first of all explain to you. See, you don't have to dive, just like any other thing you would do in your life. If I wanted to play football, I'm not a professional footballer, as you can see. Yeah. Any professional footballer here? Okay, anybody that plays football regularly? Okay. Anybody that plays football occasionally? No? We need to get the kids. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. You see, if you were playing football and then you didn't play football for a long time, yes, then suddenly you want to play a full match. What will happen? You've not played football for a year, and then you go for a full 90 minutes. What will happen? Full active 90 minutes.
Muscle.
Everything will, you almost
breakdown.
Kill yourself. I know. Yeah. Oh, even exercise. Anybody goes to the gym? Aha! If you don't go to the gym for how many? How long? Yes, even say 6 months or even a month, and then you go and just say today is the day. that the Lord has made, and I'm going to pump out this gem. And you actually, you pray, say, God, give me the grace. You pump it out. What will happen to you when you get home? You will ache and pain. So what I'm just trying to say is that you take things little by little. For example, if you've not been fasting before, you want to fast for 12 hours. From 12 midnight to 12 noon. It's valid fast. You sacrifice something. Hello? And then as you get established in that, you can take it further and do 18 hours. Maybe from, 12 midnight to 6. You know? And then as you get established in that, maybe that could take even a year. You can take it further and do 24 hours from 12 midnight to 12 midnight. You take it gradually. You get used to it. You understand? You start with little. Also, if you are fasting, which you are abstaining from food, it doesn't mean you have to abstain from water. You may, but you don't have to. Because water is not food. Hello? Say water is not food. It's that simple, isn't it? You can drink water and flush your body while you're fasting. Hallelujah. So, let me just say this because of time. And I still have one more question, which is an important question. I want to take that. So let me just quickly rush this point and say that when you're fasting, your fasting is not valid. No, let me not talk like that. Your fasting is not valuable if you're not spending time with God. Yeah? That's why many times I may do it later, maybe many years, but to just say, okay, church, let's all month, we're doing 30-day fast, everybody. Every day, you fast and break at 6. The problem is that one of the things about fasting which gives you value is that it's voluntary. It's important because it's a voluntary sacrifice. You see what I mean? So, when your will is involved, it's easier to get through. Now, if somebody mandates you to fast every day for 30 days, you may not voluntarily, you may struggle with this. And then before you know it, it's an hunger strike because you're fasting, you're checking your time, it's almost 6 o'clock, but you're not praying, you're not doing, probably you have to go to work. You understand? I mean, like when I'm going to work and I fast, I don't fast beyond 12 o'clock if I'm going to work. Because I'm going to burn energy there. And I need a brain. Do you understand? And fasting can slow your brain down, in a way. But I can fast at all. I do it often. I've done it for years. Just going to work. I go to work, I fast at all. But I don't really try to push people to do that. But because if you want to fast, what I would do is I would say, if I have some work-free days or some leave days, instead of using all my work-free days, cruising and partying, take what one day or two day and just lock yourself up. He said, your father who sees where? In secret. You got to lock, said to your neighbor, say, you got to lock yourself and focus on God. If you only will do that for some time, you will have some insight that you need. He said, I wake up and God will just give me an idea. He'll put it right there. It's coming straight from heaven. But it comes as a result of spending that time with God. You lock yourself up, you tell everybody, tell your friends, tell your parents, tell your, children, your spouse, I'm here and nobody should disturb me till 6 o'clock. It's just you and God. Now, let me quickly say this. Fasting is not just about, like, what do you do when you're fasting? Let's quickly take that. What do you do when you're fasting? And what are the activities you would do in the course of your fasting? So you've locked yourself up. It's your work-free day or your leave day. You know what I mean? Don't lock yourself up when you're supposed to report to work. Somebody may die. Okay, now you're just you and God. What do you do?
You pray.
You pray, yes?
You're reading the word and
meditate. You read the Bible, yes, and meditate, yes?
I sing and worship.
You sing and worship, yes? One more. Let's take one more. Yes? You listen for God's voice. You keep quiet, in fact. That's the main thing. Let me take one principle. The major principle of listening is keeping quiet. If you don't keep quiet, you're not going to listen. Yeah? Now, let me explain something to you. We are rounding up. It's like, I remember early this year, or was it late last year, when I lock my, normally if I do stuff, my children are in school, they were on holiday. I lock myself and I'm not out till 6. Yeah. So after a while, My son, one of my sons went to the mom and said, Mom, what is daddy doing? I mean, if he's praying, even if he's praying in tongues, will he pray in tongues for 6 hours? You know, what is he? How can he be there all day? Let me tell you the trick or the secret. You know those Christian books that you never had time to read? I know they are all piling in your house. People are not reading, I know. When you are alone with God, it's an opportunity to read one of those books. You read a little, you pray a little, you sing a little, you meditate a little, you relax a little, you start again. Hello? Before you know it, the day is over. Many times, in fact, you enjoy it after a stage, time will just run out. But what will happen is that time you spend alone with God will change your life. Because what will happen is that wisdom will enter you. Say wisdom. Open to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Are you there? We'll round up with that scripture. Proverbs chapter. No. Let's not. Actually, I have two of them. So let's do Proverbs chapter 3. No, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. To 9. We stop there. That's the last place we open and we pray. The advantage of focusing on God alone, whether in just pure prayer, you know, or with fasting, just you and God. Because you have to understand that this God we are serving, this Christian God, he has capacity to give you personal attention. And he wants to do it. That's what makes him happy. When you just focus on him, he's happy. He has it, just you and him. That's exactly what he wanted. Do you understand? That's exactly what he wanted. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4, 7 to 9. Yes, someone who has not read today. Have you not read today? Okay. We take two readings, okay? And we take someone else and then we round up.
Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom.
Wisdom is what?
Supreme.
It's supreme. Another version says what? It's the principal thing. In fact, it is a thing of the most inestimable value. I know sometimes you call someone, you know, my jewel of inestimable value. Yeah? I know you do that. But it's not true. Yeah? Somebody, a mere mortal. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, who has the responsibility to get wisdom? God is you. Who has responsibility to give wisdom? God. Who has responsibility to get it? You. Go on, read.
Thought it cost all you have, get understanding.
Yes. Let's stop there. Let's not go further. Let's break it down. Let's read it again from another version. Proverbs 4, 7. Let's take two more versions. I break it down and we pray. Proverbs 4, 7.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
Get understanding. Yes, let's have another version. One final version. Yes, anybody? Okay. Let's leave it. So, in rounding up, this is what I want to explain to you. When you spend time, first of all, you can't get the time. That time will not come to you free. You have to make out the time. You have to sacrifice some party or some holiday or some pleasure time, some TV, some sleep. Sometimes you may even sacrifice some friendship and just spend time with God. That's where you will get wisdom. I told you, wisdom is not smartness. Smartness is about your brain. Wisdom comes from heaven. Do you understand? So if you're going to get wisdom, you're going to spend time with God. Because he is the source of wisdom. And when you begin to spend time with God, you find out that some things you didn't understand, your understanding will change. You begin to see things from a different point of view. My best definition of wisdom is to see things exactly as God sees them. That's all. If I can see everything as God sees them, I'm a winner already. Hallelujah. Imagine. You know, that's something the devil was coming from here and I've seen him coming. Even if the person is looking like a beautiful lady. You didn't get what I just said. Okay, let's change it. A very handsome man is coming. What I'm seeing physically is a handsome man. He may even be quoting the Bible. But if I can see with the eyes of God and I see that, that's actually what? The devil. Before he can do me, I'm already, you know, check me. Because I can see with the eyes of God. Hallelujah. That will not be achieved without spending time with God. Let us pray. I believe that God has been speaking to you today. The goal of my heart, I told you, fasting is not like a difficult thing. Like I said, you start with the minimum. But the real value of fasting is to spend time alone with God. You know, praise Him, pray, read books, Christian books, read the Bible, be quiet, and just listen. In fact, just being quiet from all the hustle and bustle. You know, imagine, can you be quiet for 1 hour? You just see you and God. That can make a whole big difference. You can begin to see things completely differently from the perspective of God. So I want you to ask God for grace. Ask God for grace. Actually, you know, in doing that, let me tell you, you already have grace. What you just need to do is make a decision. Make a decision. You know, and this type of decisions comes with simple decisions like even being in prayer meeting. I've told you, it's not every time I come from a prayer meeting that I feel like coming. It's a decision. I've made up my mind, I will be there. Just like if I wanted to watch a movie, you know, I will be there. That's it. And even if I'm not feeling it, I will still be there. I won't feel like that it doesn't kill. Make a decision today that you will spend more time in prayer. You will be part of prayer meetings. Whether it's prayer before service or evening prayer meetings. What are you doing? What are you doing if you cannot have time to pray? Make up your mind that, you know, you will create time to fast. Even if it's a short fast, that's okay. That may be all you needed for your next breakthrough. So make up your mind that you will go deeper with God. Being very sure that when you go deeper with God, it will not destroy you. Going deeper with God can only make your life better. It will remove the evil things in your life. It will not destroy you. And you don't have to be perfect to go deeper with God. God Himself is the one that will transform your life. All you need to do is move closer. So just talk to God and let's run to that prayer by thanking God for the opportunity we have to listen to the word of life, to listen to a living word, the word that can change. Tell God, say, Father, I'm not in the business of remaining the same. I'm not okay. I want things to change in my life so that I can become like Jesus. And I pray that you help me. In Jesus' name. Amen.